I typed in your call before you even spoke. Your radio makes a distinct click when you're about to transmit, so I knew it was you. Over.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yeah, I've got a few things to do, but put me on the list, and I'll be in as soon as I can, Earl.
All righty, sir. I don't have anybody else there, so I put you in. Do you want me to put you a couple down?
Yeah, that would be better. So I've definitely got to do some catching up here, and I'll be in as soon as I can there. Appreciate it. Have a good night, then, 4OQ.
All righty, sir. Let me do that right now. Looking for check-in. CQ, 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 K-A-H-J-O-Y, looking for check-in for the Wednesday night Liberty Net, the real Liberty Net. Mr. Moe, good evening. A great signal from you from Nebraska. K-A-J-O-Y back to KD0RSA. How are you doing, sir?
Thank you for coming back. Thank you for giving me a call back. Over.
Roger, roger. Anything new and exciting in the great state of Nebraska?
Come again.
Anything exciting in the state of Nebraska?
No, not a thing, except it's pretty peaceful. I hope it stays that way, over.
Roger, roger, on peaceful. We're getting about 480 Afghanistan immigrants in the Cleveland, Akron, Ohio area. Are you getting any of them? Over.
Not that I know of yet.
All righty. Well, it's good to hear you. I've got you on the list. I'm going to continue and look for additional check-ins.
November 4, X-ray Yankee Charlie.
That would be John in Cleveland, Tennessee, November 4, X-ray Yankee Charlie.
Yeah, good evening, Robert. It is Robert, isn't it?
That is correct.
Yeah, good evening. It's a cool night down here. It looks like fall has moved in.
Well, the first day of fall was, I think, today, or was it yesterday? But nevertheless, we're down to 57 degrees here in Ohio. It has rained on and off all day. We're supposed to have a little more rain tomorrow, and then come Friday, some sunshine. How about you?
I don't know. I'm retired. I don't pay much attention. I don't go out much. With the COVID, there's like 1,700 cases in my little town, and people are dropping dead left and right. And so I'm kind of hunkering in the bunker, as they say, and so I actually don't pay much attention to the weather.
hear that. I just retired after 43 years in public safety. So, but again, if you look at the deaths, the people that are passing have other problems. They have respiratory issues, heart issues. It's not just COVID-19, but I have to say, I think our government is smiling because look at the money they're saving by not paying us that are older Social Security.
I know, and I was a business owner, so I didn't have a retirement pension. I had to kind of figure that out on my own, and it's not easy going from owning a business to retired and then having to depend on, you know, the resources that you put together during your years as a business owner. So it's not easy.
Yep, that is a problem. I have some pension from my government history. I worked in the private industry for enough time to have a little bit of Social Security and then investments. So it is a balancing act, one that I am just now trying to figure out, because I say I just retired August 31st.
So what kind of work did you do, Robert?
My first 13 years, I was a firefighter and a medic, and my last 30 years and 10 days, I was a law enforcement officer.
Okay, very good, very good. Well, thank you for your service to your community and our country.
Well, thank you. I did enjoy it. My expertise is in traffic crash reconstruction and the forensics of a crash, which I really, really like.
Yeah, they take vehicles here. They take vehicles in my little town. And if it's a fatality, then they take the vehicle to an impound lot, and it's in an isolated area where they can do an investigation on the vehicle.
Yep, that's what I did. I would have it towed back to my station because I have a garage. Because it's a kind of a wealthy community, so I had a garage that I could do my magic in. So it was kind of, I enjoyed it. So I don't know what I'm going to do in my next chapter. I just got my drone license, and I'm still involved a little bit in the crash world. So let me see if I can come up with a couple more check-ins so we can get this party started.
Okay, Robert. Did I hear you calling another net? Like on 16 or 18 or something a week ago or so?
Yes, sir. I am the moderator on Sunday night and sometimes on Thursday night on 3919. The group, they call themselves the Friendly Bunch.
Okay. Because your voice is very distinguishable. Very distinguishable. And I spotted you right off the bat as I was just simply rolling through the frequencies. Okay, Robert. Well, I'll hang around. I don't have anything to read. I'm not completely blind. I mean, I can see everything in my shack, but I have macular degeneration, and so all the letters and the numbers are scrambled, and I have to use a magnifying glass to even read the display on my ICOM 7300, so my eyesight is really scrambled, but luckily I can see, you know what I'm saying.
Roger, John. Well, it's not necessary to bring an article with you. Being here with us is great, and commenting on what other people said is perfect.
Roger. Okay, we'll be listening here. It's for XYC.
Alrighty, sir. N4XYC. This is KAHJOY looking for additional check-ins on the Wednesday night Liberty Net. CQ, CQ. being heard at the moment. I will check at the after I open the door. So let me start this off. Good evening to all participants of the 75-meter Liberty Net tonight. This is a directed net, and I believe it's the longest running and only current events discussion net on amateur radio now, and since the year of 1974. Founded by Mr. Victor, yes, W1WCR. This is the Arium Net, the gold standard. Current events and amateur radio topics are welcome tonight on the real, the great Liberty Net. With that being said, let me open the door with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So for those that are listening, our normal moderator, Mr. Jesse, is a little under the weather, so I am going to fill his space tonight. So let me check one more time for any check-ins for the Great Liberty Net. They come now. Alrighty, nothing heard, so I'm going to open the door with good old Nancy Pelosi. This one is from Western Journal. I would have liked to have seen this. Pelosi gets nasty greeting in England. Protesters shout out to her. And there's a photograph of her with her lips purged, and she's about to flip them the middle finger. What a classy hag she is. California Democrats visit to the northern part of the country on Saturday. One man proclaimed, quote, "The whole world knows that Donald Trump won the 2020 election, Nancy," unquote. Another one, "Shame on you," quote, unquote. Other cries included, quote, "You're not welcome here, go home." And, "Get back to Epstein's Island. Get back to Jeffrey Epstein's Pedo Island, Nancy," unquote. The meaning behind the latter reference was unclear. No reports in major media have indicated that the speaker traveled to Epstein's Island. Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to do her very often. Though I guess she did file a lawsuit against her husband's doctor. He said that after he had a procedure, he no longer wants to have sex with her. And they couldn't understand them because the procedure was cataract surgery. But with that being said, because nothing says class like despairing your political opposition from foreign shores, during a moderated convention in the Cambridge Union Society of Cambridge University, Pelosi said the Republican Party has been hijacked by Donald Trump and has become a cult. Oh, the Democratic Party hasn't been hijacked by Nancy Pelosi and is deplorable? Huh. Well, let's continue. She said of the Republican friends, and I do have some, that aren't my party, she said. The prompted chuckles from the audience, although it's unclear if they were laughing with her or at her. Most likely at her. Another peril of wisdom dropped by Nancy during the Cambridge talk was downplaying the Chinese government's genocidal efforts against the population for the sake of fighting the change in climate, briefly known as global warming. Having said all that, we have to work together on climate. God, I wish they'd get off this climate shit. They need to start working on all the illegals that are rushing in from the southern border and now all the Afghanistan that did not help America, that are just infiltrating America. Climate is an overriding issue, and China is the leading emitter in the world, and the U.S. too, and developing world too. China and India are the worst polluters. America hardly pollutes. Our footprint is so small. So we can have a level of communication, whether it's COVID, whether it's terrorism, or whether it's climate. Most hot air was emitted from Nancy during her appearance in Cambridge in the form of her optimism appraisal of Joe Biden's foreign policy. It appears that the 81-year-old Democrat relationship with the truth is tenuous at best, and despite last month's withdrawal of U.S. forces from Afghanistan, where Americans are still trapped, by the way, Pelosi said Biden is perfect and knows his foreign policy. Biden doesn't even know his last name. That's why we have to call him Biden, because he doesn't remember it. With that being said, let me open the door and say hi to Miss Laura and to JTT and Mr. Marty and to IRJ that are listening. Good evening to both of you. And let me go down there and say hi to Mr. Mo, see if he has a comment for us. KD0RSA. Mr. Mo, what's your comment?
KD0RSA. Well, thank you, Bob, for giving me a holler. I do appreciate it. I don't have any comments. I'm just all ears. I would like to hear what somebody read a letter or whatever that Biden told the UN yesterday. I believe it was yesterday. I'd like to hear that because I heard that he was quite a clown. So KD0RSA, I'll turn it back to you, Bob. Over.
Roger, roger. Well, I don't have exactly what he said. I watched last night on Newsmax. He never came out against China. He kind of praised the World Health Organization. He was mumbling about the climate. He was mumbling about COVID and getting vaccinated. That's about it. He really didn't say anything, Mo, of anything that was intelligent. It's sad that this is the leader of the free world, and he is such a bumbling person speaking. Over.
Roger. Well, thanks for telling me. I thought that was probably what it would be. Over.
Yes, it is a shame. All righty, Mr. Mo, KD0RSA, KHLY. Let me go down and see if Mr. Larry is ready. N4ROQ, KHLY. I guess not. So let me go to Mr. John. John in Cleveland, Tennessee. N4XYZ. Mr. John, what do you want to talk about?
Okay, well, good evening, Robert, and everyone on the net. I don't really have anything written down, so I'm just going to kind of do this on the fly. But I want to talk about Hitler's Germany and his relationship with the intellectuals, the Marxist intellectuals in Germany, just as Hitler was taking power. They some of them joined up with him, but a lot of them came to the United States, and these were intellectual college professors that were followers of Karl Marx, and they came to the United States, and they kind of got taken in by Columbia University in the 1920s, late 20s. And they were known as the Frankfurt School because they were all from Frankfurt, Germany. Now I need to look at my watt meter. Stand by just a minute here. I need to keep an eye on my meter. And so as soon as they got here, they hated California. They hated the free enterprise system we had. And all they could think about was how they could overthrow this country and make it a communist country. And they figured that Karl Marx, that his main theories really didn't work. So they came to the conclusion that it was race, that if they divided all of us up and got us all angry with each other, that they could destroy this country with critical theory, critical race theory, and all of that. And so that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing critical theory. They call it critical race theory, but basically it's communist theory is what it is. And then the open borders, that is to crash the country. And that's exactly what they're doing. And it's called Cloward-Piven strategy. And two communist professors at Columbia University wrote a paper in 1966 on how to crash the economy and to overload the welfare system, and that's exactly what the Democrats are doing. And that's what we see on TV every day. And there's really more down there than what they're showing. There's 10,000 at Reynosa, and then there's another 20,000 down in Mexico. So, you know, it's just the people, the American people, are just going to have to stand up and take a stand. You just got to get off your couch, quit watching TV. You got to get organized and take a stand. We're not going to make it if we don't. N4XYC.
Well, that is true. I have a curious question. I guess I don't understand, why do Americans such as Sippy Cup Joe, such as Nancy Pelosi, such as Schumer, why do they want to destroy this country? Because let's face it, if this becomes a communist country, they might not be in power. They might be exterminated along with a lot of other people.
I know, and that's what you call the useful idiots. That's what women refer to as the useful idiots. It's like when the Democrats succeed in taking over this country, then the Chinese will move in, and the first thing they'll do is they'll kill them all, won't it?
Yeah, and I can't imagine they don't see this. You know, they can't realize that they will be spared and exalted, they will be eliminated.
I know. You know, we're the greatest country on earth. We have the greatest form of government, free enterprise, and they want more. They're a power craving, crazed power. That's all they can think about is their power. And once their goal is a one-party system here in America, and I guess they think that they're going to rule the entire Western Hemisphere. That's all I can come up with. And sorry I don't have more to talk about, but back to net control from N4XYC.
All righty, John. You do not have to apologize. It's just a pleasure having you with us here and bringing that to the table. It does make me shake my head as I watch all this carnage coming into our country. They had a gentleman that was on the Mexico side of the Rio Grande, and he had interviewed hundreds of the Haitians. And our Democratic Party is leading you to believe that, oh, we've got to let these Haitians in because they're from a torn country, Haiti. And this gentleman has interviewed hundreds of the Haitians, and not one of them was coming from Haiti. Most of them came from Chile and Brazil. They had a good life in Chile and Brazil, but they heard the door was open to America, so they fled to the border. But they were not in Haiti. Over.
I didn't know that. That's interesting. Now, my son lives in Chile about 50% of the year, half of the time. He lives down there, and he says it's a pretty good place to live, that it's very European in nature, that, you know, for you to walk on the streets and, interact with the people, that it's almost like being in Europe. So I guess they got a pretty good thing going on down there.
Interesting. What does he do in the country 6 months a year?
He leads Whitewater River trips. People that are Whitewater River paddlers that want to go on their ultimate river trip with volcanoes in the background and the mountains of Patagonia and all of that. He's a professional Whitewater kayak guide.
Well, now there's an interesting job. So he gets to basically get paid while he's doing recreation.
Exactly.
That's a smart man. I like his thinking. All righty, John. Thank you, sir. N4XYC, KAJLY. Let me jump up and see if Mr. Larry is ready for round number one. N4ROQ, KHOI. Nothing heard, so let me see if I have any additional check-ins for this Wednesday Night Liberty Net. This is KHOI, please come. Alrighty, I had two people. Let me try for the mobile first phonetically.
Well, okay, I have to be a Kilo Quebec 4 Echo November, Front Royal Virginia Mobile.
Is this Reed?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I do, and you're running mobile. So, Kilo Quebec 4 Echo November, what do you got for us tonight?
Well, I'm going to be short because I don't want people to strain to hear me. But I'm just showing off my ham stick antenna. I got the high-power version of that ham stick. And I'm sitting in the Love's truck stop in Front Royal, Virginia. And I just wanted to check in and join your pep rally. It's really good to thank you, Bob. Break in here. If Larry's not going to take his turn, but yeah, appreciate it, guys. Enjoy yourself. This is KQ4EM.
All right, right along with us. I'll come back to you. KQ4EN, KHOI. There was another check-in. Let me have that phonetically, please. I dropped you a little bit. I think you said Kilo 7, and then I don't have the rest. I'm still struggling. I am so sorry. Let me see. You're not on NetLogger. Can you say it again slowly so I can try to get it typed in?
Kilo, Charlie, Delta, Delta.
Alrighty, I'm getting close. Kilo, Charlie, 3, Delta, and then what's the rest? Alrighty, do I have Jan in Philadelphia? Oh, I see it on NetLogger. I see my mistake. Hold on a minute. Gary, it took me a while, but I got it figured out. Kilo Charlie 3, Delta Delta Bravo. Mr. Gary, good evening. Tell me, what do you have on your mind for round number one of the Great Liberty Net? Your audio is a little light to me, but I'm doing okay with it. You told me to read, I guess, 1892, correct? The Manifesto of 1892. Okay, I jotted that down on my legal pad. I will have to take a look at that. Alrighty. Well, thank you, Gary. I see you're on NetLogger. If you want to type in that, just so other people can see it, that manifesto of 1892, and we'll have it there on the almost instant messaging. Super. Thank you very much. Alrighty, let me see. Do I have any other late check-ins? before I try back for Mr. Larry. This is KAHJOY with LibertyNet. Nothing heard, Mr. Larry. I'm going to check back with you. N4ROQ, KHOI.
Yeah, okay. Hey, I'm just barely got back in here. I think I did hear Reed in there, and he's in a, driving an 18-wheeler out there, guys, and checking in. He sounds better than most bases in here, down here in Tennessee. So he's up close to Washington, D.C. So, guys, there's a lot to say about just putting up an antenna. It's not any, it's just a little vertical right up above his cab, or right up above his trailer, there on the front of his trailer. So he's doing great. I found a couple of articles here. Let's see. I thought this was very interesting. 107-year-old Japanese twins certified as the world's oldest. 107 years old. Japanese sisters have been certified by Guinness World Records as the world's oldest living identical twins, age 107 years and 330 days. The organization said Monday sisters Yumito Sumayama and Komi Yodama were born on Shodishu Island in western Japan on November 5th, 1913, as the third and fourth of 11 siblings, 11 kids. The sisters, as of September the 1st, broke the previous record of 107 years and 175 days set by famous Japanese twin sisters Kinara and Gin Kaney. Guinness World Records LTD said in a statement. So there's two sets of Japanese twins that are over 107 years old, almost 108, and it's unbelievable that they're both still living, and two world's oldest. So unbelievable. Here's an article regarding some kind of a sub deal. North Korea has criticized the U.S. over a sub deal. North Korea has criticized the U.S. decision to provide nuclear-powered submarines to Australia and threatened unspecified countermeasures if it finds the deal affects its security. State media on Monday published comments from an unidentified North Korea foreign ministry official who called the arrangement between the U.S., Britain, and Australia an extremely dangerous move that would destroy the security balance in the Asian Pacific. The official said it would set off a nuclear arms race. I'll tell you, these people are something else. The official said the North was closely examining the deal and even would proceed accordingly if it has even a little adverse impact on the security of our country. President Joe Biden announced last week a new alliance including Australia and Britain that would deliver an Australian fleet of at least 8 nuclear-powered submarines. Biden has stressed the vessels would be conventionally armed. France denounced the move, accusing Australia of concealing its intentions to back out of a $66 billion contract with the French-majority state-owned naval group to build 12 diesel-electric submarines for Australia. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison blamed the switch on a deteriorating strategic environment in the Indo-Pacific, a clear reference to China's massive military buildup that has been gaining pace. So they've got the money. We've made them a superpower with all the stuff we've been buying from them since they moved all the factories over into China. We have made them so super that they're the second in the arms race right now. Maybe about to catch up with us. So who knows what's going to happen in the future. They've already been to the moon and flying up there quite often. So we can kind of see what's going to happen there. Let's see. What else I can find? There's a guy that passed away in this nation and the world, USA Today, George Holliday, who filmed Rodney King video, dies of COVID. George Holliday, sounds like Doc Holliday, the Los Angeles plumber who shot grainy video of four white police officers beating black motorist Rodney King in 1991 after Rodney all that this went through town and all over the place, 100 miles per hour plus, on all kinds of different drugs and all. And after they shot him with tasers, and he just pulled them out and threw them down on the ground. I think they got kind of worked up there. He died of complications of COVID-19, a friend said Monday. Holliday, 61, died Sunday at a Los Angeles hospital, where he has been more than a month, according to Robert Wollenweber, a longtime friend and former co-worker. Holliday's out-of-focus footage, about 9 minutes worth, is a key piece of evidence at the four officers' criminal trial for assault and excessive use of force. That's what they say happened in that video. The Taliban's organizing their government in Afghanistan. Taliban expanded their interim cabinet by naming more ministers and deputies on Tuesday, but failed to appoint any women, doubling down on a hardline course despite the international outcry that followed the initial presentation of an all-male government lineup earlier this month. The international community has said that it will judge the Taliban by their actions, and that recognition of a Taliban-led government would be linked to the treatment of women and minorities. If these people are so worried about their government, they should have came in there and helped the Afghanistan people out. In their previous rule of Afghanistan in the late 1990s, the Taliban, who adhere to harsh interpretation of Islam, has barred girls and women from schools, work, and public life. At a news conference Tuesday, Taliban government spokesman Zalabullah Mahajan held out the possibility of adding women to the cabinet at a later time, but gave no specifics. He also said the Taliban are preparing rules for allowing teenage girls and women to return to schools and jobs in line with the Islamic law, but did not say when that might happen. Mahajan defended the latest additions to the cabinet, saying that including members of ethnic minorities such as the Hazaras, he said the deputies were chosen for their technical skills. He bristled at international conditions for recognition, saying that there was no reason for withholding it. It is the responsibility of the United Nations to recognize our government, and for other countries, including Europe, Asia, and Islamic countries, to have diplomatic relations with us, he said. The Taliban seeks international support as they grapple with the daunting challenges of governing a nation shredded by four decades of conflict. They're the ones doing all the conflict. The U.S.-backed government deposed by the Taliban in a rapid military campaign last month had depended heavily on foreign aid. Even before the Taliban takeover, the economy was in deep trouble. Now Afghanistan's new rulers face an economic meltdown and growing poverty. Mahajan played down the financial problems, saying that much of the foreign aid to the previous government, widely seen as corrupt, was spent on funding America's 20-year war against the Taliban. He suggested Afghanistan could manage without that aid, saying the country had sufficient resources, according to our inspection. This is talking about they've got some minerals and different things down in the ground, which is very important. Afghanistan is not a failed country financially, he said. We have revenue and it is controlled and collected properly. It can solve our current problems. It wasn't clear, however, how the Taliban government expected to raise sufficient tax revenue from the population in the United Nations, said that would see 97% living below the poverty level by the end of the year. The Taliban has framed their current cabinet as an interim government, suggesting that change is still possible, but they have not said if there would ever be any elections. So Mahajan also asked about the recent restrictions imposed on girls and women, including the decision not to allow girls in grades 7 to 12 to learn to return to classrooms for the time being. So, it's hard telling what's happening over there, but we've pulled out and left them in a bad shape there. It's too bad they wouldn't fight for their country. They're just a lot of problems in that country. Okay, we'll shoot you back up to you, Bob. Maybe there's some more others there to jump in there and have some really good comments to add there. Good to hear Reed and John in there, and you also. Anyone else checks in, that'd be great. The band seems to be in great condition. So back to you, Bob, K-A-8-J-O-Y from N4ROQ.
Thank you, Larry. It's good to hear you. N4ROQ, K-H-O-Y. I'm at the bottom of the list. Let me see if I have any additional check-ins. This is K-A-8-J-O-Y for the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Nothing heard, so I don't know how many of you receive. I'm a member of the National Rifle Association, and there's a magazine they put out called the American Rifleman, and there's a section in here that talks about people that are armed, legally armed, and how they save their own lives. Well, there's two of them in this month's article about California. Now, again, California has some strict gun laws, and, you know, too bad, you shouldn't have a weapon. So let me just read those two. There's a total of six. One's from Texas. Two are from Texas. One is from good old Nebraska, but these two are from California. You know, the state that wants to defund the police and use social workers instead of law enforcement. An elderly homeowner returned July 20th from a brief trip to find that his property located in a rural area just north of Gunda, California, had been burglarized and that some tools and a gun were missing. A law enforcement official told the media that the elderly man was in the house when he saw headlights coming up his driveway. The robbers returned. A man and a woman got out, entered the residence, and confronted the homeowner, who fired his weapon, striking both intruders, and called 911 to report the break-in. Upon arrival, deputies performed CPR until the paramedics arrived, but the male suspect was dead at the scene. The female was taken to Losa Hospital with serious injury from a gunshot wound, but is expected to survive. Both suspects have extensive and recent criminal records, according to representatives from the sheriff's office. No charges will be against the homeowner. This was in the Sacramento, California area. So there's a person who saved his own bacon. The other one is at around 5:45 p.m. on August 3rd. A shirtless, bearded man was allegedly attempting to gain illegal access to various homes in Pleasant Hill, California, by banging on the windows. One of the home's residents called police to report the man acting erratically and that he was stumbling around in the yard, pounding on the windows, vandalizing cars, and banging on the windows. When officers arrived, they heard gunshots. The resident had used his legally owned 9mm handgun to protect himself and his wife when the deranged man broke into their duplex. Officers found the intruder lying on the resident's living room floor with a gunshot wound to his chest and head. He was taken to medical center where he later died. Pleasant Hill Police Lieutenant David Nicholas said the resident who shot the 46-year-old intruder was not considered a suspect. and that his wife and him are cooperating with the investigation and basically saved their own lives. So, again goes the motto, when seconds count, the police are only minutes away. One of my son's favorite comments as a U.S. Marine. His other one that he loved to say was, a weapon is like a parachute. When you really, really need it and don't have it, you won't need it the next time. With that being said, let me jump up and say hi to Laura, N2JTT, and N2IRJ. They're both listening, and if either one of you want to make a comment, please type it in AIM, and I will bring it to the floor. Next on my list, again, is Mr. Moe, who is famous for saying, keep your powder dry. KD0RSAKAHJOY. Interesting. I know you don't have the internet, so I can look up some of that, but thank you very much for that detailed explanation. I never knew what the contents were, so I appreciate it. KD0RSAKAHJOY. Mr. Larry, I'm back to you already because I had to kind of jump around to catch you. So N4ROQ, Mr. Larry, I'm back to you for round number two. Nothing hurts, so I'll jump back up to him in a minute. Let me go to John in Cleveland, Tennessee. N4XYC, KHOI. Mr. John, what are your thoughts on round number two?
Yeah, okay, Robert. Well, I'm just kind of sitting here in a state of shock, and I think the entire country, that's what our problem is. We're all in a state of shock at the things that's happened since the Democrats have taken over the country. It's, you know, we're all just sort of in a state of shock. You know, you know, Obama, he worked on his United States the Middle East over there. You know, he did everything he could. They brought down Gaddafi in Syria, Libya, and you know, they went through all those countries, and they were working on Syria. And it looks like the Taliban is part of the new world order now. You know, we've always known that the Marxist I'm having a brain block here. Okay, back to net control. N4XYC.
Not a problem. I do believe, I don't know if you've ever seen the video of Barack Obama in an interview, and he said that during his third term, he would be happy to have a spokesperson with an earpiece, and he would be sitting in his basement in his sweats telling that spokesperson what to say. I believe that's what's going on with Sippy Cup Joe, that Barack Obama, and I think even Hillary Clinton, we don't hear anything from her. I think those two are involved in handling Joe Biden because he has the audacity to say, you know, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. They told me not to take questions. Who is they? You're the President of the United States. Who is he talking about, over?
Yeah, that's exactly so. You know, they put Susan Rice in the White House and gave her a special title, something that was not a normal position in the White House. So that's probably the connection right there, is Susan Rice in the White House. And, you know, she was with Obama in his bunker. You know, Obama and Valerie Jarrett and Susan Rice, they, when they left the White House, they only moved to, 4 miles? And they've got a compound with an underground bunker 4 miles from the White House. And so he really never stopped undermining the country. And, you know, he worked as hard as he could for Islam, you know, the United States of Islam and the caliphate. He worked on that his entire presidency. So, yeah, he's running it. He's running the country right now. There's no doubt in my mind. N4XYC.
Yes, very good comment. N4XYC, KHOI. Thank you, John. Let me jump down to Mr. Reed. Are you still listening on your mobile? KQ4EN, KHOI. Mr. Reed? I think he moved along, so I'm going to show him unavailable. Let me go to Mr. Gary. Even though you're kind of light, Mr. Gary, are you still with me? KC3, Delta, Delta, Bravo, KHOI.
Money, money, and the book, that's right. You just don't. I can never take it down. I mean, it is.
you'll see if you're from
Gary, thank you. If you can, I don't know if you know where the settings are. If you could increase your mic gain just a little bit, that might make your modulation a little louder for us. That would be kind of good, and I'll check you on the 73 round. So KC3, DBB, KHLY. Mr. Larry, I'm back to you. N4ROQ, KHLY. Nothing heard, so I'll check back with Mr. Larry. I have something that is on the Stinch field on Newsmax, and they were talking about COVID deaths for basically birth to 18-year-old children. So this year alone, there has been 516 COVID deaths, or deaths that they have ruled COVID-19 for 0 to 18-year-olds. However, a majority of those lives, there was also a predisposing issue. They had, I think they used the word morbidity, where they had lung issues, heart problems, cancer, other things that help contribute to the loss of their lives, because children are totally not susceptible to this disease. But of course, we're going to say 516 of them died. However, in the same time period of this year, 0 to 18-year-olds, 5,100 children have been shot, and over 1,300, over 1,300 children, 0 to 18, have died violent crime. Gunshots, stabbings, beatings. Unfortunately, most of them are drive-by shootings. So that's almost three times as many young people have died at the hands of violence this year as have died of COVID. But the only thing the left media talks about is, oh, the children that have died. But they say nothing about the children in that same time frame that have been killed. Just an interesting statistic that they don't want to tell you the actual truth. All righty, let me try for Larry again. N4ROQ, KHLY.
Okay, I got back here. N4ROQ. All right, our governor and other GOP governors have requested a meeting with Biden on the border crisis. I watched just a few excerpts of the news. It looks like they've let a lot of those Haitians and people from that were just under the bridge that you all probably have seen by now. There was thousands, 10 to 20,000 there. There was thousands in other places that they didn't want to tell you about. They brought a lot of those in and gave them court dates, gave them paperwork with court dates, and just turned them loose as far as I can tell. So we're going to have an unbelievable amount of people running all over the U.S. Waiting on court dates, which they'll never come to see the court. That's the Democrat way of doing things. Tell them you can wait for asylum on a court date. If you want to come back, if you don't want to come back, then you can just come on in. All right, Lee and GOP governors request meeting with Biden on border crisis. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee has signed a letter requesting a meeting with President Joe Biden to discuss the surge in border crossings in the next 15 days. The letter, co-signed by 26 Republican governors, calls for more federal actions from the president to curb illegal entries along the southern border. The monthly number of border encounters has spiked over the past year, federal data shows. Since October 2020, migrant encounters have topped 1.5 million.
the highest level compared to recent years. Republicans have blamed the Biden administration for the spike, but cases were already surging. This is a Democrat writing this article. President Trump kept everything, kept the people in Mexico. They didn't get to come in here and turn them loose. They had to stay in Mexico. He had the Mexican troops out guarding the border on their side. So I don't see any of that with Biden. He's giving them a free pass to come on in. Let's see, this is, let's see, as long as it's true, Biden rolled back some hardline immigration policies. He rolled back a bunch of them put in place under former President Donald Trump, allowing in asylum seekers who previously had to remain in Mexico, which I mentioned, and refused to deport unaccompanied children. His administration has carried on some policies from the Trump era, very few. In the Monday letter, the Republican governors argued the unenforced borders contributed to a surge in human and drug trafficking. Cartels and traffickers are making $14 million a day, moving people illegally across the border. More fentanyl has been seized this fiscal year than the last 3 years combined. Almost 10,500 pounds of fentanyl, when only 2 milligrams prove fatal. 2 milligrams prove fatal, and they have already picked up from these illegals 10,500 pounds of it. This is enough to kill 7 times the U.S. population. While the data found on fentanyl seizure is accurate, federal data show drug seizures overall has trended down in the months since Biden took office. It remains at a lower level compared to recent years. Fact checks done by multiple news outlets show no evidence border crossings are linked to any increase in human trafficking. This is all baloney. When you've got a liberal Democrat writing this stuff, this writer, U Stella U, this is a lady Democrat. Let's move on down and see if we can find something else. Republican lawmakers have criticized Biden for blindsiding the state when planes carrying unaccompanied minors landed in Chattanooga in May. The practice of bringing unaccompanied migrant youth into the state has been going on for years before Biden took office. This is the other things that she's bringing into this article. So anyway, I'll move on down through here. But the main fact is, in this article, that we have 26 Republican governors that are calling for federal actions from the president to curb illegal entries along the southern border. Immigrant encounters have topped 1.5 million, the highest level compared to recent years. So the first part of the article was the best part. And it's sad, very sad, that we don't have an administration that wants to enforce our borders at all in there. And it's going to have a very detrimental effect to our whole nation. And they should impeach these people for taking the oath of office to protect the United States and then just opening up everything and let these illegals in. Very sad, very sad. Okay, we'll shoot back to you up there, Bob, from NKA8JOY on the Liberty Net N4. I'll hook you.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate it. Let me check and see if I have any late check-ins. This is KE8JOY for the Wednesday Night Liberty Net.
KE8ADV.
KE8ADV. Good evening, Mr. Tony, in Lakewood, Ohio. Thanks for joining us at the bottom of round number two. Kind of a low group tonight, and our normal moderator is under the weather. So with that being said, what do you have to bring to the table? Over.
Well, I don't know if you heard this one here. You know, you and I live in the People's Republic of Ohio. But an interesting article here. I'm sure people have heard about Biden's request that banks turn over, that financial institutions turn over account information to the IRS. And get this, on any transaction that exceeds $600, that's deposit or debit, and which is crazy. But it looks like the state of Ohio is fighting that, which I'm surprised because, like I said, we live in the People's Republic of Ohio. But yeah, I don't know if you heard that. Just so crazy. He's going to increase the IRS with $80 billion. He wants to grow the IRS. Unbelievable. They want to squeeze every little ounce of blood they can out of us. It's pretty unbelievable. But yeah, that's what I have here. I just came up here and enjoying the learning experience. So that's what I got right now for you, Robert. Back to you, KAJOY KE8 ADV.
Yeah, November 2, Romeo, Romeo, Alpha.
50, Michael Papon.
So then November 2, could you say that one again?
Yeah, roger, roger. The call is November 2, Romeo, Romeo, Alpha. The name is Eric, and we're in New York, and yeah, I just wanted to touch on a little bit of what the previous gentleman was just talking about.
Mr. Eric, thank you for joining us. Go ahead.
Okay, Roger. It's funny because I was wondering some time back, I was wondering if you guys had ever touched on that particular subject. And I just happened to tune here with that same thought in mind, and a previous gentleman was thankfully just talking about that, just brought it up. And actually, what that bill is, H.R. 1319. So we looked into that pretty thoroughly. It's Bill H.R. 1319. It's actually a bill that a lot of folks are not talking about, okay? And I think it's very imperative that people talk about it more. It really needs to get pushed. I actually had attempted to post and contact a couple of these politicians and these social media influencers that are very heavily connected to a lot of these politicians, like Candace Owens and some politicians like Ted Cruz and Dan Crenshaw, which I'm a little upset about Dan Crenshaw, but a bunch of other folks. And apparently it was deleted. I literally checked up, went back to those accounts, back to those pages. I posted several times, and it was deleted. So they're using every distraction that we're going through right now, and just so that we're not paying attention to a couple of these things, particularly like the infrastructure bill pertaining to the mileage tax. You would be very, very surprised at how many people are not aware, completely oblivious to the mileage tax. Technically is starting out as a pilot program, but we know how that starts off as a pilot program and becomes the new normal. That's another thing that we really have to educate people on and try to stop it before it becomes a permanent thing. But back to H.R. 1319, if you go to congress.gov and you go to H.R. 1319 bill, and you go to section 9674, I think it's on page 508 or 510, it specifically states in that line that anybody who has in their bank institution, or any bank institution, doesn't matter if you've got one bank institution or multiple bank institutions, of $600 or more, the bank institutions are legally mandated to report that to the IRS. So basically, essentially, whether if you have a PayPal account, if you've got a Apple Pay account, you know, any major bank account, any banking institution where you have 600 or more into one bank or accumulated $600 or more, the bank institutions now must report that to the IRS. So what the IRS does is the IRS begins to monitor your account. They now have authority to monitor your account. And what they do is they monitor all the ins and outs. So any money going in, any money going out. The problem with that is that they can now monitor every purchase you make, where you made the purchase, how much you made the purchase for, what you made the purchase for. In other words, the item, what the item is, and even as detailed as what time, obviously. In turn, at the same time, they know all your whereabouts. They know you went to the supermarket at this time, you went here at that time, and so on and so forth, and it doesn't stop. The problem also is that they look at your annual income, so they know exactly how much you make. The problem, again, with that is, for example, if let's say you have a summertime garage sale, like many of us do, if you, let's say, make $2,000 in that garage sale, and now you put that in your savings account, right? You want to take that money, you want to put it away. Now they see that money. And what happens is that money is now taxable income. They look at it as annual taxable income. So at the end of the year, you're going to get taxed on that. But this, here's the kicker. The problem with everything here is that, let's just say for 30 years, you put money away inside your mattress, right? Some people don't put all their money inside their bank account. So the money that you put away, when, let's say next year, you want to take that 20 or 25,000 that you saved, you put into a piggy bank, you hid it under your floor or behind inside the wine cellar where nobody could find it. You decided you wanted to take that 25,000, put it down on a nice little home or something like that, right? Now, because they can see how much you've made and the money that that's gone in and out of your account, they're going to assess. They're going to see you purchased a home, but then they're going to audit that. They're going to say, "Well, wait a minute. Where did he get that extra $25,000?" That is going to wind up creating a whole bunch of mess, because then they're going to start asking you, "Well, why didn't you report that?" And they're going to, you know, they're just going to be a pain in the butt, and it's going to become a whole big thing. "Hey, well, listen, you didn't report this, and that's taxable income, so now you owe us penalties and fees," right? Now everybody's not going to be able to pay the tax that they owe on that $25,000, and of course you want to try to pay that month by month, and of course that accumulates with late fees. So this HR 1319, Section 9674, now when it gets to the IRS, now the IRS has their own little rule book, right, as to how all this works. So that bill only tells you what they're going to do. But now when you go into the IRS, when you look a little deeper into how the IRS is going to respond to this, just as I explained it, I think you guys can kind of get a picture of how bad this thing is going to become. It could be used as all sorts of different ways, it's a tool to monitor you, to track you, basically limit everything there's an argument that it's unconstitutional because we do have a constitutional right to privacy and illegal search and seizure of private property. So the argument is, does this infringe on that constitutional right? And in many ways, if you think about it, it does infringe on our constitutional right, because it infringes on our privacy and it infringes on our illegal search and seizure. This is something I can guarantee. You ask your neighbors, you ask your friends, you ask your family, everybody, they're not going to know about this bill. And that's one of the things I came here tonight to ask you guys, if you guys had any lengthy conversations about it, because it's great. And by the way, this is supposed to start 2022. It starts next year, by the way. That's the set date for it, along with the mileage tax that's embedded in the infrastructure bill. So sorry for taking it long, but I think it was important to give everybody a really clear picture of what this HR 139 bill is all about. Back to you from N2RA.
Well, that was a good piece of information, but you really are the fun police. That is really sad, N2RRA. I wrote down that House Bill 1319, And Tony also brought that to the table, so it basically is making it so if you try to save and you try to better yourself, if this does go into effect, it's a punishment. Over.
Basically, so if you'd noticed, if you guys have ever heard of, I'm sure you guys have seen video clips of Biden. They actually been talking about this a lot. This has actually been airing a lot on all the media news stations. He talks about the $160 billion that rich people have been getting away with annually. I'm sure you guys have heard the talking point Joe Biden's made about, you know, every year, you know, $160 billion is lost because the wealthy are not paying their fair share. He's made many speeches on this. And so the reason why he's made the speeches on that is pertaining to this bill. So the thing he's not telling people in these, when he's having these speeches, he's not telling people about H.R. 1319. He's just trying to put it out there that the reason why they've implemented this law was to go after the people who are obviously trying to evade taxes or paying their fair share, which was technically, you know, he gives the implication, the picture that it's towards corporate, towards big business. But obviously, this bill, okay, is not. That section of the bill has nothing to do with rich people, okay? It's in there. He is telling the truth about the bill, about what it, why they wrote it in that bill and what they're going to do with it, because they want to go after the rich. But guess what? That makes no sense, because $600? Now, if he would have said $600,000, then okay, I could say, all right, it's pertaining to the rich, but it's not. So he's giving people a false perception that the bill is for, you know, to go after the rich, when in fact, it's to go after all of us. You know, a couple of years back, or last year, Trump was always telling us that they don't want to come after me, they want to come after you. They're after you. You know what? He was right in every single way, Roger.
Amazing. Kind of depressing, but yes, I wrote that down. I will be looking at that. And Tony, thank you for bringing your part of that to the table. Let me go down to Mr. Mike in Sturgeon Lake, Minnesota. Mr. Mike, that was some depressing information, but it's truthful. Whiskey Zero, Mike Papa, KHAOI.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, I'm just listening along here and looking at some things online and, you know, the news, that kind of stuff. I generally don't do that. I really don't, because this is very depressing a lot of times. I will follow the news, but I will take a little break now and then too, because I need my sanity as well. I don't have anything concrete at the moment, but yeah, it's very interesting. You know how, you know, well, why would you be interested in someone's, you know, $600? I mean, that's just absurd. It doesn't affect the main, you know, the big picture or anything like that. And just because I take $600 of the bank and then I put it back in, that doesn't mean I'm doing something illegal, you know, buying and selling drugs or something. And actually, it'd probably be okay if I was buying and selling drugs, as long as I paid taxes, I paid income tax. They probably don't care if I sell $600 in crack cocaine, as long as I pay my taxes, then it's fine. But I know we got to find some way to pay for what we've had. I mean, we've got a lot of people we paid to stay at home, you know, that have been collecting money, and that's actually run out, I believe, which is a good thing. But we had to print money for that, and now we got to pay for that money we printed somehow. So we're kind of like, you know, digging in the couch cushions, I think. Now, I shouldn't say we're not doing it. The federal government's digging in the couch cushions, trying to shake that last bit of change out. Maybe they can find something to pay for their programs that they use to buy votes. Or at least that's how they hoped it would go. And the reality is, I'm looking, you know, let's see. I'm just looking at And I don't know if Biden signed this or how it all worked, but boy, is his popularity ever going down. And for the news to report that, that's something else, because they've been propping him up for so long that, but it's even the news can't do it. I just, you know, I listen to him, and I try to listen to him once in a while, and you know, the incoherency that comes out, we all know it, but I mean, it's just completely incoherent, some of the things he says. So all we can hope for is that people are paying attention and seeing how things are going and wanting to make a change in 2022. Because if not, then all is lost. It means people aren't noticing anything, aren't paying attention. And then I guess we might as well, pack her in, you know, because at that point it's just going to be a free-for-all for the bureaucratic establishment. It definitely, how do you say, I mean, if people aren't watching, then there's nothing else you can do. It's something else. It's very good how I didn't get the name, but he's very well informed on the bill and how it all works and everything. And trying to squeeze every last penny out of us, and it's just ridiculous. I'll tell you what, I already pay mileage. I drive 100 miles a day for what I do, and right now, and I pay for that miles. I pay it in gas tax. I pay, what is it, 30 some cents, 40 cents a gallon, federal gas tax, maybe it's 30 cents. In a 30-something cents range. I don't know exactly. But every mile I drive, I'm paying for that. Paying for these roads and, you know, big cities and stuff across the country that I'll never drive on. But, I'm probably going to keep ranting and raving here if I don't pass it back. But, the conditions are so good tonight. I decided I was going to come up here and take a listen and talk to everybody. And, I don't know. Are we past ID time? No, I'm just kidding there. But, wanted to enjoy the band conditions as long as I could, because it's really nice tonight. And I'm sleepy, and I need to get to bed, but I'm sure enjoying the band conditions. So anyway, I'm going to turn it back to you, Robert, KHAOY-W01P.
All righty. Well, my list isn't very long, and I'm going to start back at the top for the 73 round. I want to bring one topic, and I've watched the videos of the Border Patrol on the horses. I am not a horse person. I know Tony can comment when we get back to him, because he has a brother that was on the Mounted Division here in Ohio. But when you look at what they're doing, they're on the horses trying to contain the people that are here illegally, and they twirl the reins to keep the people away from the animals, because the animals will bite them. And of course, people like Cuomo's brother said that it was disgraceful. It was like slavery brought back. They were whipping the Haitians with the reins, which is not true. And then that crazy fiat, Ilhan Omar, says that it is a domestic humanitarian. It's deplorable, and internationally it's humanitarian deplorable. They're illegal. Why do they not understand? Those people shouldn't even be anywhere near those horses, because they're here illegally. But they've made a big stink that, that Jen Psaki, Circle Around Psaki, they want to do an investigation of what the Border Patrol were doing while they were riding those horses, trying to contain those people that are at the water's edge where a motor vehicle couldn't be. So, again, more distraction, like I have to admit, like the gentleman said, Eric, it's all distraction. You know, we don't want to deal with the real problem. And I said it earlier that they interviewed the Haitians that are coming across the water. The one guy from Newsmax, he said he interviewed 100 of the Haitians. Not a one was coming from Haiti. They were all coming from Chile and from the country of Brazil. So, just a deplorable mess. With that being said, I'll go to the top of the list, say hi to Miss Laura and to JTT and to IRJ. I'll reach out to Mr. Moe for the 73 round. KD0RSA, Mr. Mo, what are your final thoughts? Over.
KD0RSA, Mo down here in Nebraska. Well, that potassium nitrate, that is called sulfine if you go to the drugstore to get it, but that'll also cure meat. If you have to cure meat in a hurry, why, you could cure meat by making a brine out of it and using that to cure the meat. And as far as the gunpowder, it's 15% sulfur and 10% sulfur. The sulfur, you can still buy it over the out of gun books and what have you. But you could also go to your. Of course, you guys in the city, you probably don't have a way to get to them. But the fertilizer plants that sell fertilizer to farmers, you can go there and buy that yellow sulfur for the sulfur. And that charcoal, and that was what I was talking about earlier. That's what you make. Burning that ashes and create that ashes and then grind them ashes up to get the big chunks out and then grind up the little ones to where it gets the powder. But you don't put them all together right away. And when you go to mix them in small batches, figure out what you're doing.
KD0RSA, back to net,
over.
All right, Mo, thank you. That's some very good information. Young people today don't even know what gunpowder is, let alone know what the ingredients are. So I thank you very much for that. Let me go to Mr. John, N4XYC. Mr. John in Cleveland, Tennessee, what are your final thoughts, sir? XYZ-KHOY. Nothing heard? How about Reed? Kilo, Quebec, 4, Echo, November. Mr. Reed, your final thought. Nothing heard? That takes me down to Mr. Gary. Kilo, Charlie, 3, Delta, Bravo. Mr. Gary, your final thought.
My final thoughts are, I agree with what everyone's saying here. The only thing I'm saying carefully, what people are going to be, realize that's just what they want to see. There's a lot more going on in the background that you don't see. A lot of computers and people get out of the and that's it.
Thank you for joining us tonight on the Wednesday Night LibertyNet. Come back on Saturday night. We usually have more check-ins Saturday night at 10 o'clock p.m. So I will maybe look forward to you again. KC3, DDB, KJY. Mr. Larry, N4ROQ, your final thoughts, sir.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Here's an article in the USA Today. These Democrats are wanting to keep on spending more money, so they want the debt limit to be raised again. The House says the House rushed headlong Tuesday into a vote on legislation to fund the government, suspend the federal debt limit, and provide disaster and refugee aid. See, they're wanting to give all these illegals money on top of money, forcing a showdown with Republicans who oppose the package despite the risk of a fiscal crisis. The federal government faces a shutdown if funding stops at midnight September the 30th, the end of the fiscal year. At the same time, the U.S. risks defaulting on its accumulated debt load if its borrowing limits are not waived or adjusted. The package unveiled Tuesday would provide stopgap money to keep the government funded to December the 3rd and extend borrowing authority through the end of 2022. It includes $28.6 billion in disaster relief for the aftermath of Hurricane Ida and other extreme weather events, and $6.3 billion to support Afghanistan evacuees and the fallout from the end of the 20-year war. $6.3 billion to take care of these Afghanistan people. Backed by the White House, Democratic congressional leaders pushed ahead at a time of great uncertainty in Congress, with lawmakers already chiseling away at the $3.5 trillion price tag of President Joe Biden's broad Build It Back Better agenda. Immediate attention focused on deadlines to avert deeper problems if votes to shore up government funding fail. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell said he was not about to help pay off past debts when Biden was about to pile on more with a reckless tax and spending package. Since Democrats decided to go it alone, they will not get Senate Republicans' help with raising the debt limit. I've explained this clearly and consistently for over 2 months, McConnell said Monday. Even if Tuesday's vote is approved by the House, which Democrats control, it is expected to languish in the 50-50 Senate, where Democrats will be hard-pressed to find 10 Republicans to reach the 60-vote threshold needed to overcome a filibuster. The Treasury Department warned that it would soon run out of cash on hand and have to rely on incoming receipts to pay its obligations now at $28.4 trillion. That would force the Treasury to delay or miss payments, a devastating situation. So let's move on down. Echoing that strategy, McConnell is refusing to provide Republican votes, even though he also relied on... So let's skip that. See... I don't see anything else that's important down through there. But anyway, these Democrats are wanting to raise the debt limit and put the daggone taxes to us people. I mean, put the taxes. So be reading about those tax increases. All right, let's see. Here's an NRA article. I'll read some of it. These Democrats want to take our guns. There's no doubt about it. They'll do anything to take them. And they took the presidency by hook or crook. They'll do anything to take again by hook or crook. Do you and I have been living through a moment in history that the world will remember for the next 500 years? Our cities have been at a standstill. Tens of millions of citizens have been in a virtual lockdown in their homes. Businesses and American families have suffered enormously from the economic fallout of this crisis, worse than anything we've had since the Great Depression. I want you to know that on behalf of everyone here at NRA, our thoughts and prayers have been with you, your family, and the other members throughout this crisis. But there's one thing I know, it's that NRA members like you are a special breed. I have no doubt that during the crisis we've all been facing, you've been a beacon of inspiration and strength to your family and friends. I know this because I've personally witnessed your wavering or unwavering courage under fire more times than I can count. I've seen you stand tough when anti-gunners trying to blame you for horrific crimes. I've seen you hold a freedom's banner high when gun haters have tried to smear your name good. Simply because you choose to own firearms and keep your family safe. And I know you've never forgotten, even in the darkest moments of this unprecedented national emergency, that we're heading straight into the jaws of the most decisive Second Amendment battle in the history of our nation. You and I both know it was in our hearts. Biden has made it clear that he'll weaponize the full power of the federal government to lay siege against the Second Amendment. Each and every day, you've forced to hand over your firearms until you are. In fact, no presidential nominee in American history, not Barack Obama, even Hillary Clinton, has made it more clear that Joe Biden, that freedom is in the crosshairs and he's coming for our guns. even while the Trump administration was marshaling the full resources of federal government to fight the coronavirus pandemic, Joe Biden was issuing direct threats to gun owners on the campaign trail. So, anyway, Biden has pledged to ban every firearm in America that holds more than one round. He's told American gun manufacturers point blank, "I'm taking you down." He's literally threatened to deploy the U.S. armed forces against any American who tries to keep his or her gun, saying if you're going to take on the government, you need an F-15 with a Hellfire missiles. So, as a campaign stop in Michigan, Biden stuck his finger in the face of a proud auto worker who was standing up for the Second Amendment, told him, "You're a S star, star, star," and threatened to physically slap him. "This isn't crazy talk. This isn't Uncle Joe. You're running his mouth. Just running his mouth." Nope, make no mistake. Joe Biden is filled with a venomous contempt for gun owners and a Second Amendment that goes deeper than any politician has ever run for nationwide office. And if you and I don't take his message to heart right now, we won't get a second chance to keep our guns. So the article goes on, but it's a great article. I'll not read it all, but it's amazing what these socialist Democrats will do, and they'll do. They'll try to take our guns away from us if we're not standing up for our Second Amendment rights and for the Constitution. So just remember that. Remember all these illegals he's throwing in here. Remember all the ammo and guns and planes and missiles and helicopters and all he left over there for the Muslims to have and use against anyone, says Israel or any of our forces in that region. Don't forget this guy. He is pure crap. Okay, back to you there, Bob. Enjoying the net. KAHJLY from N4ROQ.
Alrighty, Larry, thank you. N4ROQ. Well, we've already seen how the First Amendment was attacked by not allowing us to go to church, but you could riot and burn down the city, but don't dare go to church or you'll be arrested. The Second Amendment's under attack, and like we heard from Eric, the Fourth Amendment's under attack, being our private papers. They are watching what you're doing, so everything's under attack. That's a shame. I'm going to give it to Mr. Tony, and I'm going to let him, whatever he's going to bring to the 73 round, but if he would explain the deal with those rings, having a brother serving or serve in the mounted unit of the Metro Park, I'm assuming he knows why they swing those rings to keep the people away from that animal. So with that being said, KEH-ADV, KEH-JOY.
Yeah, Robert, I'm not 100% certain exactly what they use them for, but they use them even when there's no people around. I thought it had something to do with controlling the animal. I watched while the Cleveland police unit trained, and they can spin those horses 360 degrees on a dime, and they spin them like that as crowd control. They need to disperse people. They can do a lot of impressive stuff, so I'm not 100% certain, but yeah, they certainly weren't whipping people to whip people. They may have been, like you said, trying to control the horse so the horse didn't bite anyone's face off. But I wanted to just make a quick comment. The gentleman before mentioned Israel. I mean, I'm not an expert on Israel, but they are supposed to be our allies, even though I argue that we give them way too much of our stuff. But anyways, they're our ally, and I just heard that this administration cut the annual funding that we have always given them for that iron, whatever that thing is called, their defense system, Iron Shield, or I forget what the exact name is, but just strikes me as odd. If you go online and you look at how that thing works, I mean, they're getting rockets launched at them by the dozens, and this thing protect the people there. I don't understand why we would cut the funding all of a sudden. I suspect it has something to do with the that new what do they call it? Omar and what's the nickname they have for those women? I think it has something to do with that. I mean, they're obviously openly anti-Semitic, which again, I'm not a massive proponent in giving all these countries money to begin with. I just find it odd that right now, while we're spending all this money bringing all these people into this country, we decide to cut the measly amount of money that we have been giving them. So that's all. I don't know if anyone knew anything about that that wanted to comment, but just find it all a little bit weird. But that's it, Robert. Appreciate you letting me in, and send it back to you, KAJOY KE8 ADV.
Yes, Tony, I did hear that last night on the news that we have taken away funding towards the Iron Dome, the rockets that protect Israel, but yet we let all that equipment and rockets and helicopters in Afghanistan. Isn't that convenient? We should, Joe Biden should be ashamed of himself, but he isn't. And the squad is who you're referring to, those crazy biatches, they call the squad, especially the one that was at the $30,000 a plate dinner wearing the dress that says tax the rich. That's kind of a play on word, isn't it, Mr. Eric? So with that being said, let me go back down to Mr. Eric with his good comments. N2RRA KAJY, your final thoughts tonight.
Okay, very good, very good. Well, I tell you, it was a good night to come here tonight. I usually always do a lot of listening and never partaking, but you know, it's a good night to do so. And to touch a little bit back on a bill, for those who are probably just coming in and listening, the bill that we're referring to, we've been talking about, is HR 1319. You can go right now, find it in congress.gov's website, federal website. It is section 9674. I believe it's page 508, 508, or 510th page in that bill. Now, just to give people a little bit of a different angle from what I had given earlier as to, you know, the purpose of monitoring our bank accounts, knowing our whereabouts, how much we make. What that bill is essentially going to do is going to hurt every small business and every middle class and poor American worker out there. What it essentially does is it hurts all cash money businesses. So, for example, Uber drivers, waiters, waitresses, mechanics, people who work in hair salons, hairstylists, barbers, any job where someone would be tipped after their service. Sometimes a lot of these people, they save their money, they take their tips, they put it into their bank account. All those people who used to be able to do that, fortunately, we get to communicate, we get to talk about it, but when you talk about this on social media, it gets deleted right away. So unfortunately, a lot of people, okay, hundreds of millions of people are going to find out the hard way next year, unless, of course, each and every one of us get the word out, and hopefully they get the word out, and so on and so forth. It is somewhat on social media, but it doesn't last very long after being posted or someone talking about it. So basically, to keep in mind that that bill is essentially going to do that. The other thing to keep in mind, you know, this whole thing, political game, is a chess game. So you always got to think three and four steps ahead. If you play chess, you don't play chess, but, you know, maybe you're into military warfare and tactical strategies. You kind of have to think like that. And so what each and every one of these moves that they're doing essentially is to balance what they're doing. So other than it monitoring us, controlling how much money we make, taxing us on that money, that money, of course, is going to be used to balance the scale, to fund whatever their agendas they have, and also to fund all the illegal immigrants that are coming into the country. So it is, you know, along with the mileage tax, you know, Joe Biden for many years said, I'm not going to raise your taxes. I'm going to go after the rich. Remember that they have referred to, they were only raised, looked to raise taxes for anybody making over $200,000 or something like that. I think the number was like $200,000 or $300,000. Anybody who made under that, they were going to leave you alone. Anybody who made over that, they were going to come after you. Your taxes were going to increase. Obviously, we know that's a lot. We see that's a lot. But what they're doing is, instead of coming outright saying, hey, we're going to raise taxes here, they're coming up with these fictitious programs like the mileage tax. And it basically is revolving all around the Green New Deal, right? Climate change, Green New Deal. And so if people start thinking, well, I got to do my part, so I'm going to pay my taxes so we can save the planet, that's their way of being able to increase people's taxes under a false premise. And people are buying into it because they're morons. They're just stupid morons. So the big bamboozle, it's right in their faces. No one notices it. As far as the Israeli dome, so the Israeli dome obviously is a missile defense system that protects Israel. Is a very extremely high-tech, sophisticated, missile defense system. That's the reason why Palestinians and any other Islamic country around the world who wants to just literally destroy and obliterate Israel off the face of the earth can't, because of that missile dome system. Now, we give them $1 billion a year to help fund that missile defense system. But that missile defense system that they have is not just to protect them from attack, from outside threat and hostiles. That is, they are a number one ally for us in the Middle East. And also, they contribute to a lot of science research, medical research. They also develop a lot of, health measures, medications, medicines, stuff like that. They contribute a lot to science and the medical industry. So, you know, it's not just protecting Israel. It's protecting our interest and security in the Middle East, our ally, and also, you know, they're a big contributor to science. And so, you know, they have tons of projects there that we're learning from. We know that they've been looked at in cases of COVID and the variants and the Delta and the different variants of COVID. So we get a lot of information through their medical research. So it's very important that we fund them. But you're talking about Rashida Tlaib, you're talking about Ilhan Omar. Of course, this Nancy Pelosi's moves to defund their $1 billion is just that. It literally to obliterate Palestine. Now, keep in mind that if this ever does happen, we will fall, okay? Because if you look at what's going on, they're ruining all ties to all our allies, okay? That's Israel, okay? They took out Netanyahu because Netanyahu was a big supporter of Trump. I knew that was going to happen. So that whole big coup that they did last year was basically to get Netanyahu out. Now, if Israel falls, we lose a presence in Israel, in the Middle East. We just gave away Afghanistan. We lost more presence in the Middle East. That actually leaves not only Israel, but it also leaves Australia, Taiwan, and the UK defenseless to a certain degree. It was a very crucial presence that we had there. We should have never let go. $85 billion went to the worth of military gear went to terrorists. Democrats decided they were going to buy nuclear submarines to give to Vietnam, which is another communist authoritarian regime, without France's knowledge. Okay, the French are very pissed off at us about that. Taiwan, we're going to wind up leaving them to China, and I think they're going to ultimately be screwed. And of course, the only reason why we sent nuclear subs to Australia was basically telling China, hey, listen, we gave you Taiwan, don't overstep your boundaries, we're going to keep Australia, you can have Taiwan if you want, but just don't touch Australia. Because that's essentially what's going to happen. And all this is so that he can make his move. He was in the UN recently. He did make a speech at the UN that he wanted to go back to the United Nations Humanitarian Organization. Now, we had not sat at that table for decades. And the reason why is because you had China, Venezuela, Cuba, Russia at that table. Why in the world would they want to now sit around those communist authoritarians? ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake, this isn't just about, you know, destroying America. This is a communist revolution. This is the very same tactic that was used in Iran. We remember what Iran used to be an ally of us, but if we remember the Iran-Contra scandal, and we remember the Iran hostage scandal, if we remember all that, that stems back to 1953, where, you know, the United States and Britain basically created a conspiracy and coup to the former president there to put the Shah in place. But that all backfired when the Ayatollah took back over. So this thing is like a whole big mess right now. But at the end of the day, what this is all stemming, coming down to, this is a communist revolution. They're using every tactic that was used during the Mao revolution in every single way, using the same Marxist rhetoric that was used during Stalin's era. We're in big trouble. We're in big trouble. If we're not, if we don't suffer from a nuclear war, nuclear age in the next coming years, we no doubt, without a doubt, are going to. We're going to not recognize the United States. We are going to be no different than the people of China. That's how this is all going to end. But it doesn't have to end that way. I could go on and on with this stuff, but hey, real quick, I know I'm going way overboard, but two articles I just want to mention. You guys like reading articles, you like to read over the air the articles. This week there was an article by CNBC. That article was, the journalist who wrote the CNBC article was Frederick Kemp. It was an op-ed, will China's president be the big bet payoff? And then the next day, about 14 hours later, there was another article that was mentioned by CNN, and that article was written by Jesse Young and Steve George. Now, the two articles were written back-to-back, about 15 hours apart from one another. That CNN article was China and the U.S. are popular opposites on gun control. If you read the first article that I mentioned by CNBC, and then you read the CNN article, it talks everything about leading the way to taking our guns away. But I think what's scary about the first article I mentioned, CNBC, the article basically is saying if you're into tech stocks, if you're looking to bet into technology in your stocks and improve your portfolio, do you want to bet on China? Now, they glorify China as being the audacious, pioneering country in the 21st century. But the problem is that the CNBC article entices you to want to invest to understand why it's important to invest in China. But these are the rules, okay? The second line goes, for China that has many faces a rapid rollback of economic liberalization, a crackdown on individual freedoms, and an escalation of global influence efforts and military buildup. So basically, they're saying in order for them to get to that point, what they had to do for economic liberalization was crack down on individual freedoms. That's in this article. And then the next line after that is, at the same time, President Xi has launched a push to share the virtues and successes of the Chinese authoritarian model with the rest of the world. So in the article, it's basically trying to say, hey, listen, for us to go into the 21st century, for us to enjoy the successes of China, but they're trying to paint a picture that communism is a bad, that what China's doing is a good thing for the 21st century and for the world. But in order to do that, the president of China is willing to share the virtues and successes of China's authoritarian model with the rest of the world, but must probably include the crackdown on individual freedoms. And the article just goes on and on and on. And it's this very scary article. So again, by CNBC, Frederick Kemp, you might want to read that article and do use it for Saturday because it's very important. And then the one after that is the CNN about guns, which kind of connects to that article. And if people aren't in tune with what's going on, they can be very easily persuaded to say, hey, maybe this is the route that we should go. And I think that's the reason why with CRT and everything going on, we've got people moving to a communist ideology, and that's why I say we're moving to, we're in a communist revolution. They're just not calling it a communist revolution, but it, in fact, that's exactly what it is. Russia went through it, China went through it, Italy went through it. So, all right, I think I've had it long enough there. So, back to the control from N2RA.
Thank you, Eric. You have got to really piss off your liberal friends with your information. Over.
Yeah, well, I don't have any liberal friends. I used to have liberal family members, but I even disconnected my ties from them.
Yeah, I have two liberal brother and sister. You definitely have such good information, but what knowledge I have, they pretty much don't want to talk to me anymore. And they're both well-educated, but one was a teacher and one lives in California and is a social worker. So they basically are definitely two libtards, and they think Joe Biden is wonderful. Thank you, Eric, for bringing this to the table. Man, don't sit and listen as much as in the past. Come in and join us. It really is a good piece of information. I jotted down that CNBC and the CNN, so I will be looking those articles up. And I will be sitting down and writing letters to my senators about House Bill 1319 and the mileage tax. I've written once about the infrastructure deal, but it's time to write them some more letters again. So thank you very much. I'm going to jump down to Minnesota Mike. I think he's already checked out. Whiskey Zero Mike Papa, Minnesota Mike, are you there?
Yeah, I've been hanging around listening. Tell you, it's really good going. I'm not going to be adding a lot. But yeah, very interesting tonight. And a lot of good good conversation and all that stuff. So interesting topics. And yeah, what else can I say? I do have to get to bed. I have to get up early in the morning, but I was listening out here and enjoying the group. So, but I'm not adding any time. I did see the thing about the Iron Dome. That's the that's AOC and them. You know, the Iron Dome actually protects Muslims, and not just Jews. It protects Muslims that are in Israel and Christians and all different races and religions that are in Israel. And they wanted to defund that, of course, because they would like to see Jews die. I mean, that's what they think of Israel as all Jews, where actually Israel is, you know, like a city here, or kind of a state here, where we have a mix of race and religion and all that stuff. But they would like to see the Jews killed. And that's not really to fund something like that. You wouldn't. There's no other reason. You know, you can't say it's because of the deficit, because you're trying to sort of spend all this money on other stuff. So it's not the deficit. It's just you want to see the destruction of Israel, just like the Hamas and the PLO and all these other terrorist organizations that the Palestinians have elected to be their leaders over the years. So that's what they want. So, they're something else. But there's only one way to neuter them, and that's 2022. Get out and vote, and hopefully people are seeing what's going on. That's the only thing. We talk about it all day, and tell people vote, it's nothing's going to change. And people got complacent, voted for still nuts. They followed the anti-Trump hysteria and voted for all these nuts. And people got to realize that, maybe Trump says some things that are a little off the wall sometimes, but, overall, he's a much stronger leader than Joe Biden. I think he's looking for his next pair of depends. I don't think he's really there at all. And he's got all his, minions following him, the AOCs, and the, Tony was looking for the word, I think they call him the squad, the squad of whatever they are. Liberal nuts is what they are. But anyway, I'm going to get going here. You keep going on and on and talk more and more, but everyone's got to get going. I'm last on the list. So, 7-3, good night, all. Good night, Tony. Good night, Robert. Nice being in here. We'll catch you all tomorrow, probably on the other one. So, 7-3, W0MP.
All righty, Mike. Thank you much. And you're at the bottom of my list. I do want to tell Eric, I've got an article, and I'm not going to read it tonight, but it's in the Epic Times in the September 15th through 21st. Biden administration people's missile defenses in Saudi Arabia. My goodness, that goes right along with what you had said, Eric. So with that being said, I'm going to ask if there's anybody that has a final comment before I close tonight's Wednesday night Liberty Net. Over.
I may have one quick one.
Certainly. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, pertaining to the border, you know, it's very, I think that we have to keep in mind when it comes to the media, I think that when we repeat things that are told to us in the media, we have to be very careful how we discuss them and then how we repeat that, right? So, like the term anti-vax, right? The term anti-vax, we use a little too loosely because if we use it as much as they do over the air in conversations out in public, it sticks. It becomes a very stigma word, right? Just like conspiracy theories. So instead of anti-vax, I say, well, I'm anti-data. I'm not anti-vax. I'm anti-data, you know, anti-guinea pig. I think that when you use those words, it makes people think. It goes, okay, well, you know, I never thought of that. Okay, so what do you mean by anti-data or anti-guinea pig? Well, anti-guinea pig is just that. You know, you're being used as a guinea pig. And because there's no data. There's no data, so I'm anti-data. If there's no data, why should I take it, right? I mean, it doesn't make sense to take something if there's no data. Like, what the hell is it going to do to you in a few years? You're taking three vaccines. You're taking booster shots every 3 to 6 months. What the hell do you think is going to happen, right? We hear about adverse effects. We know for a fact there's adverse effects, even if you don't want to believe there's adverse effects. What are you doing taking, injecting? First of all, they made a big deal out of a moron taking something out of context that Trump has said about injecting yourself with chlorine. Okay, well, if you injected yourself with chlorine without finding out data first, then you're an idiot, right? Why would you do something so stupid? So why would you do something so stupid about injecting something that there's no data with, right? I think we just gotta have to try to change the narrative a little bit. So same thing with conspiracy theory. Use conspiracy analysts. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a conspiracy analyst. Okay, there's a difference, right? I'm analyzing the conspiracy. I'm not talking about conspiracy theory. I'm taking what is possibly a conspiracy and analyzing it. Is it or is it not? I think we have to change that narrative around on people, reverse it. But if we keep using those same words, well, it's going to stick. But as far as the border is concerned, the whipping, okay, I didn't see any whipping. Okay, that's number one. So we repeat the whipping narrative, and it sticks in people's minds. It's got to be quickly, there was no whipping, okay? This is what these rings are used for. This is what they're intended for. People who know nothing about horseback, which I grew up on horses to a degree. I don't want to say I grew up on them. But, you know, my uncles had farms and everything like that. I rode horses when I was 7, 8 years old, even living in Brooklyn, New York. I go to Brooklyn Riding Academy in Brooklyn and ride horses. Either way, I have an idea of the fundamentals of what the purpose of the saddle, the rings, you know, everything that what with your old four, right? And so other people have never ridden a horse. They've never sat on a horse. So, you know, when they see these things, they think that it's a whip, but it's not a whip, right? It's part of it's part of controlling the horse, okay? So the image could certainly be taken out of context just by saying, hey, look, he's got a whip. I mean, the guy could be holding a remote control in a crowd, and the guy person could say, look, he's got a gun. People would automatically run. They'll take a quick glimpse. They see something black in his hand. They think it's a gun. But once people have that in their minds, they think they see a gun, but it's not a gun. So that's kind of what I'm trying to get at here for future reference. But, you know, for me, we can argue that look what police forces all over the nation, they use horses. They use horses for what's called crowd control. So we have to change the image of cowboy on a horse 400 years ago whipping blacks. No, they are sheriffs or they're border patrol on horses using using horses for crowd control. What else are you going to use? You can't run a vehicle down there. You can't use a motorcycle. It makes no sense. It's ineffective. It's an ineffective tool. So a horse is the best effective tool to prevent the sales invasion of illegals coming in through our open borders. How you word things and how we discuss things is very crucial, because that's what's going to stay in people's minds. So, but if you ask me, now, I'm not white, all right? I'm a colored guy. So at the end of the day, you ask me, hell, I would be a cowboy on that horse. I would be doing the same damn thing. And those boys are lucky that I'm not on a horse, because I'd probably run them over. I don't want them coming in here. And that's it. And in fact, I watched a video of a Border Patrol agent reprimanding a Haitian. And the Haitian was apparently he was abusing a couple of women with a child. And I watched the video, which probably many other people have watched. But if you listen very carefully, he's yelling at the guy like, is that what you do? Is that what you use your women? If you listen very carefully, he was upset that apparently the Haitian, the male Haitian, was seemingly being abusive to the woman trying to get across the water over to the U.S. So if it was me on a horse and I saw that, I would get pissed off too. So the liberal media are really the virus of this whole thing. They wait for moments like that, they try to capture it, and then they blow it out of context. So, for me, you know, these people are batshit crazy. And I think for me, I think what we need to do is we need to become more violent. We need to become more vigilant. Screw that. No peace, no justice, no peace, okay? It's time to reverse it. We haven't gotten justice in 4 or 5 years. We haven't gotten justice to this day. At what point do we say, you know what, we're willing to accept the lies of our lives. We're willing to accept to let everything go. When are we going to turn the pages, take a look out of Antifa's page, and reverse the role? Well, Antifa did it for 5 years. They peaceful protest. Now let's take a page out of Antifa's book and let's show them our peaceful protest. Of course, they're not going to like ours. Ours is going to be exactly the same, but they're going to call it an insurrection, right? Well, no, we're going to call it a peaceful protest. We call their version peaceful protest. We'll dress all in camo instead of all in black, and we'll do exactly the same thing they did, and then see how they like it. But at some point, people, peace and talking, being civil, has got to come to an end. That's just the bottom line, and I'm done for the evening. God bless everybody. Have a wonderful evening, better tomorrow, and God bless America.
Well, thank you very much. I'm on your QRZ page looking at that section 9774. So I appreciate your time tonight. I look forward to you coming back on Saturday night. Over.
Roger. Well, thank you very much for having me. I needed to unload weight on my chest for sure. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm glad you unloaded. N2RRA KHOI. With that being said, I'm going to close the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. As I close the window on this night's Liberty Net, I want to wish Mrs. Calabash a good night wherever she is, as well as a safe night to all the ships at sea, including the United States Navy sailors and soldiers that are possibly listening. A special thank you to our founder, and rest in peace, W1WCR, Mr. Victor. It is my prayer for God to bless this great America. God bless the listeners. May we win this fight. With that being said, this is KHAOY. Good night.
Great job, 73.
Thank you. Mr. KE8ADV, are you ready to hit the road?
Yes, sir. I'll be back in the vehicle in about 5 minutes. KE8ADV, good night, everyone.
Catch you on the other frequency.